Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Don't talk cookies season, can't talk.
Well, since Joe can't talk, special guest, please sign in and let the audience know who you are.
Good, yeah.
Oh, it's Chuck. Thanks, everybody. That's episode 397. We'll see you next week.
Don't forget lump cookies.
That was the best episode ever.
I can get back to watching Orville.
It's not on Monday nights.
I save it. They may have limited commercial interruptions, but it's still interruptions. Hey, did you know Booby Trap backwards is party boob? Carry on.
Well, last week, we started going over Marvel's list of 20 graphic novels that they call the Marvel Selects. And Marvel's actually got them. You can go to their website and buy them digitally. Let's see. I'll read what it says here.
Oh, goody.
Marvel Select, your essential Marvel reading list. The volumes that answer the oft-repeated question about Marvel Collected Editions. Where do I start? Actually, most of the questions I get is, why is this sold out?
How are they going to... Why would you buy something to answer that question if not... Don't you want to be told beforehand before you buy anything?
A series of graphic novels handpicked by Marvel Editorial to showcase pivotal storylines and written and drawn by some of Marvel's most acclaimed creators, Marvel Select provides readers with a collection of entry points into the Marvel Universe. These standalone volumes, which also serve as evergreen adventures about Marvel's most well-known heroes, are perfect for retailers or librarians looking to create a core title offering for their readers.
Evergreen?
Evergreen. That's actually a bookstore term. An evergreen is a book that sells through time. Like, you go to the bookstore and you'll see the stuff that came out last week. Well, within 6 months,
quarter box,
half of it'll be out of print. But books like Animal House, The World According to Garp, Great Expectations, Old Man and the Sea, those are considered evergreens because they always sell. People are always coming in and buying those.
Really? I didn't think those comics would be that popular.
Well, you know, the Classics Illustrated line.
Yeah, okay.
In comics, we've talked a lot about how there are some evergreen books.
Watchmen.
Dark Knight. Marvels. And
Hothead, Payson, Homicidal Lesbian Terrorists.
Killing
Damn Joe. Straight. I like Joe's better.
Actually, that one's gone out of print a lot.
Yeah, but it keeps coming back, apparently, if it goes out a lot.
But this is a list. Marvel is trying very hard to get books that they consider to be evergreens because that's where the money is long term. You want to know why Alan Moore never has to work again? Watchmen.
Not the promotion items, just the actual comic.
Yeah.
Graphic novel, which has never gone out of print since it was published. I don't even know how many printings it's in. I should, next time I'm at Barnes & Noble, I'll take a peek and see. This is a 452nd printing.
Well, the problem is that they reformat it, and every time they reformat it, it's considered a first printing.
Really?
Yep. So when it became a Vertigo book, it was a first printing under the Vertigo line, and when they did a redesign and et cetera, et cetera. But these are the ones that Marvel is telling librarians and bookstores and comic shops. And we did the first 10 last week.
So you can go download last week's episode and figure it out. I mean, for the first 10. I think we agreed with almost everything except the Astonishing X-Men. And then we gave it kudos just because Joss Whedon wrote it. So,
yeah.
Something
and the
like
Deadpool
that, yeah.
book was one that I didn't think Well, you guys agreed it's not a good introduction to Deadpool because it's before he became the fourth wall breaking character.
Right.
So the number 11, Ms. Marvel, Volume 1, No Normal. It collects the first five issues of the new Ms. Marvel character.
Oh, Kamala?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's, yeah, I would say that's a good one. I've seen kids at the library reading that almost nonstop. I had to wait till the little scamps put it down so I could grab it and check it out. But
I'm surprised you waited.
Well, you know, I was, you know, scabbing copies of Black Panther as well. So, you know, these kids just wanted to read it and leave it. I want to take it home and read it.
You want a scary, statistic?
Okay.
That book has sold 500,000 copies.
Really?
Yeah. Why is that
scary?
You see that comic gate? You know what their agenda is? Printing money.
That's the one thing that always gets me with people, you know, who don't understand comics. They're only doing this because they're social justice warriors. Blah, blah, blah.
No.
The book has sold 500,000 copies. There are best-selling novels that haven't sold 500,000 copies, okay?
Hmm.
There's a reason why.
This has a little trivia. Just counting quickly, there's over, according to Goodreads.com, there are over 100 different editions of Watchmen.
That does not surprise me at all.
Yeah, and I mean, hardcover, the various remakes, like you said, the paperbacks, Kindle editions, they did deluxe formats. Yeah. And no signs of stopping.
The next book on the list, for the Punisher, they have Welcome Back, Frank, which is the 12-issue miniseries that Garth Ennis did.
Welcome Back, Frank?
Yes.
I have not read it, so we will defer
yes,
to
you
the
have.
Stroll.
This no, is the Bonucci story.
I don't think I read it. I have it all in my omnibuses, which I'm staring lovingly at behind me. But
you mention a scene from it all the time.
Oh, well, then I forgot about it.
This
but
is the one
question,
where
the
Frank
question
says,
is,
I used to work for Angels. Didn't like it.
Oh, that wasn't. That was just the first issue.
Yeah,
I didn't pick it up after that. I just waited for the graphic novel. But the question is, for people who have like watched The Punisher on Netflix, would that be relatable?
Oh, yeah.
So that's your answer right there.
It's not him versus a bunch of supervillains. It's him slowly taking out Ma Nucci's gang. And I thought, if you don't have the original Punisher miniseries in a trade paperback, the one that starts with him in prison, then he breaks out, and by Stephen Grant and Mike Zeck. I think this is perfect because it's that Garth Ennis, dark humor, and just some brilliant art by Steve Dillon. Oh my God, it's beautiful.
That's for people who didn't listen to last episode, and you got a lot of nerve, buddy. That's always something that my whole just is this relatable to somebody who has seen it on either the small screen or the big screen? Obviously, Ms. Marvel, I don't think, is translated yet, but
no, it's in English.
Yeah, but that's again, most people, when they think Ms. Marvel, they're thinking Captain Marvel of the 70s. They don't realize there's a younger character with that. But again, that's not who you necessarily want to catch, you know, an older fart like me reading the book. You want to catch the younger kids who might be in Barnes & Noble and see that character and go, oh, yeah, I want to buy that. Same thing with Punisher. Somebody might pick this up having seen Punisher on Netflix and actually enjoying it and going, this is nothing at all like Dolph Lundgren. I don't get it. So anyways, that's how I view this whole line, which is why we said the Astonishing X-Men one wasn't necessarily good, even though if you put Josh Whedon in bigger letters than maybe X-Men, people might You know, hey, cool. That Buffy dude.
Yeah.
And of course, we have Dan along because he doesn't read shit, doesn't even read his goddamn cereal box. So, you know, we just want to see if that catches his attention at all.
Wait a minute. Hey, look, buddy. I know the Infinity Gauntlet story better than you do.
You can kick him in the shins when you next see him, Dan.
Okay, good.
Especially when he comes in to lick your face.
Oh, that's Wolfie.
That's true. I lick his face all the time.
There's my fuzzy buddy. Give me some fuzz.
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, you're a little fuzzy up top here, too.
I purposely didn't shave that spot for you. Anyways.
Next on the list is Runaways, Volume 1, Pride and Joy. Believe it or not, did either of you know that Runaways is a TV series now?
I did.
Yes, I did, actually. However, I will say for some reason, the second half of this list, I haven't read any of them, apparently.
Fine, I'll buy you a cereal box.
Thank you.
Runaways is on Hulu, which is why most people haven't heard of it.
Yeah. A friend of mine who is a big Runaways fan has watched it and said he enjoys it. And he got into it from the comics. So.
And this is one of my favorite comics of the 2000s. The premise is really simple. There are a bunch of superpowered teenagers who find out their parents are a group of supervillains. And this sets it all up. Good introduction to the characters. Brian K. Vaughan is somebody whose books sell and sell and sell and sell. And this is really the only major series he did for Marvel. It's the only major series he did for Marvel, which is weird because you would think after Marvel saw the fact that, you know, his stuff is selling endlessly, they would just, you know, back a dump truck full of money up to him. But I guess they didn't do that.
Well, then they'd have to spend money.
They're okay with that. Just ask Warren Ellis. Or Joss Whedon.
Yeah, that's true.
The next book, I will defer to
Dan. Just going through these really fast. Yeah? To me?
Yeah, because it's Thanos Rising.
Oh, shit.
Is this the best book to introduce people to Thanos?
No. I do not think so.
No, I would suggest going with Jack Kirby's New Gods. That's just me.
No.
If you go wrong, give reading the New Gods. I'll say that.
Unfortunately, Thanos Rising was just basically it was Marvel doing to a villain what everybody has been doing with villains that I really don't like. It's like, okay, well, we're going to tell you his sad upbringing story and give you a reason to actually think maybe you should like the character.
But you liked him anyway.
Well, yeah, I like the comic because, well, it's Thanos, and when it comes to stuff like that, I will like you guys say about all comics, I will like it no matter what. But it's not a great story in my mind either. I think a good the Infinity Gauntlet is honestly probably a really good starter for Thanos. You get what he's after, you get what he does, and then how he fails. Thanos's quest is also really good. I think would be a good starter. I think Thanos Quest is probably the best starter. I don't think Thanos Rising is a good starter.
You mean Iron Man 55 isn't a good place to start for people who aren't familiar with the character?
Iron Man 55 isn't a good start for anything.
I would say for an introduction to Thanos, either Infinity Gauntlet or the Jim Starlin's Complete Warlock, where Thanos is kind of the side character who drives the story forward. You get his origin, you get him as the master manipulator behind the scenes, you get him as kind of the well, they call it in wrestling a tweener, where he's between good and bad, where he seems like a good guy at the beginning, and then you realize that, nah, he's not. And it ends with my favorite Thanos story, which is Avengers Annual 7 and Marvel 2-in-1 number 2.
Okay.
Joe?
I can see that.
I'm with Dan. Any Thanos is good Thanos.
Holy crap, Joe and I agree on something.
I know.
Well, we can't have that continue.
Nope.
No. Transformers.
So, you disagree on Transformers, too, though.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
But it's not a Marvel book anymore, so we can't use it.
Oh, that's true.
And haven't they been destroyed and they're starting over again because the story at IDW got too convoluted?
They weren't all destroyed, but yes, they did stop the series.
Oh. You mean tying it in every other Hasbro toy ever made didn't help?
I will say I like the fact that they made Transformers the center of it. They probably shouldn't have, but I like that they did it.
Shouldn't ROM have been the center of it?
No.
Oh, okay. That the next book on the list is somebody who's got a movie coming out, came out over the weekend. The Life of Captain Marvel, which reprints the most recent miniseries, where Carol Danvers, after having dealt with a whole bunch of problems, goes back to her childhood home and kind of relives her origin and finds out secrets about herself that she did not know. Joe, I believe you have read this, haven't you?
Yes. Actually, I haven't read the last issue because it just showed up in my box day today. Woohoo! But
your box day came a day early?
I know. I was surprised. Here, and I was going to say, stop the presses. We need to do a box day. But I figured that would be next week's, you know, the previews box day thing. But it's a pretty good introduction to the character. I mean, if you really want to get crazy, you just got to go look at the Marvel True Believers that came out. Let me see if I can find mine here. Okay, here we go. Let's see. We got first off, there was Captain Marvel from the Avengers. No, wait. We got to go back farther because there was Captain Marvel who apparently was a Kree soldier, and then he came down and fought Ronan, and he got the cosmic power, and then he fought the Kree Skull War, and then he contaminated someone called Carol Danvers, who became Ms. Marvel, who had a real funky costume with a big belly, and then got rid of it with a cat suit with a Z on her chest. I'm not sure. And then she got depowered
by
Rogue.
Hey.
And
don't
then, wait a minute,
ever,
I forgot to fought the Absorbing
ever.
Man as he lived. And then, and let's see. Oh, then Binary. Yeah, Binary, cool. Yeah, that's cool. That last, she hung out with X-Men. And I don't know how she lost Binary. She did fight with Spider-Man against Super Skrull, even though he had all the powers of Fantastic Four. The Super Skrull, not the
Spider-Man?
No. And then, of course, she came back as Wheelchair. I mean, you could feed him all these the convoluted history. I mean, come on. This is just like a damn soap opera. Or just skip it and go, okay, here's Captain Marvel, life of her life, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't recall if they ever had a deal. I mean, did they reveal that her, and this is a spoiler warning for those of you who haven't read it, so shoot the spoiler warning. Our spoiler warning.
Yep.
We needed one. Anyways, I mean, apparently they're saying that her mom now was half Kree.
That is brand new in that miniseries.
Yeah, because that's not how, and I guess that ties into the movie too, but that's not how she originally got her powers. She got her powers because she was standing by the long dead original Captain Marvel. No, not Shazam. Oh, by the way, if you're watching Big Bang Theory reruns, they're doing like a Shazam sweepstakes thing where you could go live to the premiere or win like tickets to the local thing. Anyways, if you win, give me a call. I'd love to go with you.
Would you quit screwing up our chances here?
Shazam! As if we had one.
Split!
Yeah, we see it. There's other people we didn't make the cover. And not to mention Monica. I can't remember what her name was.
Rambo. Monica Rambo.
So, yeah, no, it's better off just to pretend, yeah, it doesn't exist. Here she is. Yeah, she everything you knew is wrong. She has a half Cree mother, and now she can go kick ass with Nick Fury.
How is that going to affect the Rogue?
I don't know. I have not read my Uncanny X-Men 1-12 that came out in the last 2 days.
Okay, because that kind of, you know.
She got married to Gambit, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. But
actually, isn't that why
it affects her powers, though?
Isn't that why Rogue is so tough? Because she accidentally absorbed all of Ms. Marvel?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. That's what I mean.
So she got better. I mean, Ms. Marvel. Captain Marvel.
Yes, I know Ms. Marvel got better, but the thing is, with the new revelations in Captain Marvel, and if they're kind of ignoring her past, how is that going to affect, you know, people that are affected by it?
I think Rogue just absorbed power. She doesn't absorb. Yeah.
She absorbed a lot of her memory, which led to the whole binary thing. First off, Joe, I have to say, when you were talking about the backward Z on her chest and the sash, don't you ever say anything bad about a Dave Cockrum costume design. Symbol.
He stole it from Kiss. It's the Kiss S.
I don't care. That was the best costume she ever had.
It was the worst. It's one of those tropes like in D&D where, yeah, it's really good to fight in a chainmail bikini, but in real life, nah, that was pretty hokey.
Actually, it's not bad. I've done it.
The power of the uterus. Well, there's a lot of things you've done that a lot of people haven't.
But Captain Marvel, again, wow, what a convoluted history, because you know, basically Gary Conway created the character and then left in the middle of the second issue.
That's it, I'm out of here. The muffins are cold.
And then Chris Claremont took over, and Chris Claremonted it.
Okay.
And it has one of the True Believers reprinted one of the greatest comics of the 80s, and a comic that fixed a major screw up at Marvel.
Yeah.
And anytime you want to talk, if Joe, Dan, if you want to spend about an hour and a half with Angel Medina, bring up Avengers Annual 10, because it's drawn by Michael Golden.
Okay. And but this upsets Angel. Why?
It doesn't upset him.
For a buck.
Oh. On and on and on about how brilliant it is.
Oh.
Which for a dollar at a Marvel True Believer is a fantastic deal.
Yeah, go buy that.
I mean, it's at her spend, because I think that's the first appearance of Rogue, or second appearance.
It was the first appearance because her real first appearance was not
canceled. Okay, that's why. Yeah. And I mean, you're talking. While you do that, I'll fire up the old Tron 3000 and see what Avengers Annual 1's going for right now.
It's Annual 10.
Well, in that case, it'll be easier to find.
There you go. But what it is, in Avengers 200, they did this story where Carol Danvers had gotten pregnant and then gave birth, and it was a cosmic entity from Limbo. And he had seduced her while she was in limbo and impregnated her with himself. And you're already getting skeeved out, aren't you?
Hmm.
Especially when the character says, she fell in love with me after some help from my machines.
It could have been one of those things you buy at Victoria's Secrets, you know. It could have been one of them things, some battery-operated meat substitutes, you know what I'm saying?
But,
we don't know what his machine was. I'm just saying.
If you read Avengers Annual 10, you know what it is.
It's as good as a pudding pop, I tell you.
But Chris Claremont, I guess, read that story and went into Jim Shooter and said, you just had Carol Danvers raped. What do you mean? And Claremont had to sit down and explain why the story was so offensive. Nobody who worked on it said, wow, this is creepy and wrong. So they let him do Avengers Annual 10 to kind of yell at Marvel editorial about it.
Near mint, $64. So For a dollar, that's a fantastic deal. First appearance of Destiny, first appearance of Rogue.
And some beautiful Michael Golden art. But if this is the origin of Captain Marvel going forward, this is probably the best book to get. Because, you know, if you read, I'm reading the Captain Marvel Omnibus, the Ms. Marvel Omnibus.
Oh, I just got that today. Oh, can't wait.
Claremont did some really good stuff, but man, there's that 1.5 issues by Gary Conway is just wow. Just wow. Just no.
Claremont was always known for writing strong women. It's always funny because a lot of the women in his X-Men were way, way more powerful than the guys.
Yeah.
I think that's a thumbs up for the crew here.
Well, it's the best they got. It's what they're going to use going forward. Are you going to use the Ms. Marvel book from the 2000s, which tied into everything? Are you going to use the one from the 70s?
I'm sorry. It was just this. It was like a ringing endorsement, and all of a sudden, it's the best they got.
Y'all liked it, and I was not impressed. I thought it was a lot of standing around and talking.
The new one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As a comic, I thought it worked great as a young adult novel, but as a comic, it was very dull.
You see why you can't get dates? I don't want to just stand around and talk. I want action. I need a fight scene. Wait, that's not
You know what? When I buy a superhero comic, I want people fighting each other. I don't want people sitting around the kitchen table talking for 20 pages.
I think if you let some wordsmiths do it, like Peter David or maybe Neil Gaiman, I think they can make a pretty entertaining book of that.
Yeah, but if you read a Peter David book, he knows to make it visually interesting.
And he's got some pretty good references and puns, too.
Yeah, and he always had a fight scene. And I'll just go back to what Angel Medina said. When he would get scripts from Marvel toward the end, it's like nothing's going on. They're just standing around and talking. That's hard to draw. Dan?
Yeah?
How much do you hate it when I just give you people sitting around and talking?
That's true, which is mostly what you do.
Because it's not superheroes.
This is true.
But I do try to mix it up visually a little bit by saying, okay, do this. Here's how you can make this visually interesting. Because I know it's
Okay. Wait. Now, I'm going to explain how he does this. Monk is walking back and forth in front of his desk. It's a one-panel thing. He can't be walking back and forth. He's still just standing there.
You mean you just don't give him that's the strip for the day, Monk walking back and forth?
Yeah. Second panel, Monk is now sitting at his desk, flipping through papers, while Daryl, on the other side of the room, so he wants me to do this long shot in a four-panel comic.
Hey, it could be worse. It could be Doonesbury, where he did entire months of people just sitting in front of a TV.
I could get that out faster.
You look at Doonesbury in the 70, I can't tell you how many strips. It's either Zonker or Mike Doonesbury sitting in front of their TV, and the word balloon is what's being said on the TV. And I swear he could just photostat it.
It's probably what he was doing. Oh, yeah. Corey knows action.
Oh, how would you know? You haven't drawn anything in like 7 years.
That's not true. I did one last year.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, just one.
That thing you got arrested for on the bathroom wall doesn't count.
Oh, never mind.
The next book on the list.
Yeah.
The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, Volume 1, which is the first 5 issues of the most recent series. I've read it. I love it. I think it's a great introduction. But there are all kinds of other books that they could do. It's just they're out of print, like Great Lakes Avengers. She was in that. There were also other appearances. But this is a good one because this is a series that's going now, and it's the artistic and storytelling style that they're using. And both Squirrel Girl and Ms. Marvel, by the way, are in the cartoon Marvel Rising, which is on Disney XD.
Is that any good?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh.
Oddly enough, I'm not a tween girl, so I haven't tuned in.
I'm not going to go with that joke. Okay, I'm going to be another cookie.
Next time, go buy Girl Scout cookies. Ask them if they've watched it. That's who it's aimed at.
Well, yeah, so never mind. No, I can't. I can't. I don't want to do that joke. Go on. Please.
Look, Gore the Golden Gorilla's getting his own series, kids.
Now we're talking my language.
I'd buy that.
Dollar.
Thor, God of Thunder, the God Butcher, which starts the Jason Aaron Thor run, which, believe it or not, has gone over 80 issues. He just announced that today, that he's, you know, finishing up writing the War of the Realms, and that's how he's ending his run on Thor. And he said, by the time it's done, by the time it starts, I've written 80 issues of Thor.
Nice.
It is his hands, Thor.
Yeah.
Now you need to kick him in both shins, Dan.
I will. I may do a Dick Cheney and accidentally hit a little too high.
You may shoot him in the face.
I was thinking more kick him in the nuts, but you know.
I like this. I think it's a great choice. There have been a lot of restarts of Thor the last 10 years. Everybody who comes on Thor is like, okay, we're starting over. Now, Joe, have you read this book?
No.
Do you think the first story arc of the JMS Thor would be a good book to start people with?
Not really, because it ties into the whole idea that Thor had been gone for a long time. And although it has echoes of the first Thor movie, I don't know if, you know, it's okay for what it is, but there are some reveals that are very, you know, more insider, especially as he's going through trying to find, you know, you're kind of like, well, who are the Warriors Three? Oh, they're the ones who died in the movie real fast. Sif? Oh yeah, we never saw her after the first movie, you know, that type of stuff.
Although, you know, me, I've always thought it was weird that Thor's girlfriend had Sif.
Yes. We're back to the teenage thing. Anyway.
My only problem with this is it shows Thor as a brash young god, the current situation, and then Thor in the far, far future. And that might be confusing for new readers.
Yeah.
Have you could always do reruns of Iron Man 2020. I mean, that's not too far away.
Yeah, they're going to start a story about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that should be interesting. We're talking the his Tony's like descendant, right?
Well, kinda, sorta, kinda.
Yeah. Okay. As much of a descendant as any character is of another one.
Right.
Yeah. The hell?
You know, somebody asked me the other day, what didn't they have in the 16th century that we have now? And I said, fart apps.
Oh, that's what that was. Okay.
Next on the list is the first, is called Ultimate Comics Spider-Man by Brian Michael Bendis. This is the first story arc of Miles Morales.
Good choice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is when he was in the old universe, though, right?
Although
the stories read pretty good. They could just easily translate into the current universe.
Okay. And I think after seeing Spider-Verse, people would be okay with him being from another universe. Because the people are going to pick this up are going to be, they've already seen Into the Spider-Verse, so they get that idea.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So, yeah, I could see that.
Then the next one for Spider-Man, they have Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 1, Power and Responsibility, where Brian Michael Bendis updated Spider-Man's origin by making it 7 issues long.
Just the origin.
Yes.
Well, there was a lot of, you know, Peter Parker walks in front of his desk. Peter Parker sits behind his desk. Peter Parker.
Oh, Corey wrote this one.
Yeah.
The thing that I do like about this, they actually make Uncle Ben a character you give a damn about when he dies, rather than just the guy who said, with great power comes great responsibility, and Aunt May saying, want some wheat cakes.
Wait. Uncle Ben said something like that?
I told you, read the box. You don't make good rice if you don't follow the directions.
Sorry.
They've updated Uncle Ben in this one to be a ponytailed hippie.
Although I really, as long
how
as
how much
I'm,
is a cup of rice?
Young hottie. I mean, oof.
No, Aunt May's really not a young hottie in this yet. So they'll need to update that in the comics at some point.
Yeah, we need more Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, and as much as I love those Ditko stories, they do not do well with young readers. Because they're almost 60 years old. And I remember when I was reading comics that were 30 years old going, wow, this looks really crude and terrible.
Yeah. And again, I can't, you know, I always mention my daughters really got into reading The Essential Spider-Man Volume 1. But then again, I explained it to them. This is the original stuff, as if, you know, this was the sacred scrolls to be read. Oh! So they appreciated that, you know.
And then they got burned, and Yoda said it was okay.
Really? Is that what happened to that?
Yeah.
I better get that omnibus.
And then the last book on the list is one I have not read, so I cannot give a good explanation. It's Venom by Donny Cates, Volume 1. The collection of the new series by the new creator, Donny Cates, who's kind of become the hot writer at Marvel right now.
Okay, as bad as this is, I'm not sure if I've read this one or not, because I'm not sure if what I read was the first few issues of the newest run. do you know anything about the plot?
I don't. I have not read the book.
Oh, no. Hold on.
But
which
again,
one is it? Donny Cates, you said?
Yes. Venom, yes. By Donny Cates, Volume 1, Rex.
But again, because it's, you know, the movie was out, I don't even know how it went. Not a bad one to choose.
There was a book a while back that was the earliest stories by Todd McFarlane and the other people. I honestly think that would be better because I still think Todd McFarlane's art sells.
Yeah. Now, the question I have, are there any omissions, things that you would have chosen to put on a list?
There are a lot. I wrote down 4. The first is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that was number 1 on my list. I'm really surprised they didn't do anything with that. Because that everybody knows Guardians of the Galaxy, considering they were a B-level team at best. Oh, okay, I'm giving them too much. They were like a D-level team at best. And now they're like, you say Guardians of the Galaxy, everyone knows who you're talking about. Even wrestling fans know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. Captain Victory and Starhawk. And
exactly. Charlie Nikki. 727.
Yeah.
I had a crush on Nikki when I was a kid.
Of course.
Kid. Still have a crush on Nikki.
But the question is, what one would you use?
Ow.
At least you'd be burned right away.
Them women from Mercury, they're hot.
Yeah. What'd you say, Joe? Joe?
He's not used to us ignoring him, is he?
No, no, I'm eating Girl Scout cookies. I got things to do.
Okay. I would go with the first Bendis trade because the Abnett and Lanning story ties in with all the Annihilation stuff. And I've read it recently, and if you haven't read Annihilation, those first six issues are like,
Yes.
It's like exactly. Somebody who's never read DC Comics trying to read Final Crisis.
A lot of details.
Picking up a random issue of Legion of Superheroes in the 70s.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, who's this?
Hey, it's like somebody that's read DC trying to read Final Crisis, okay?
I don't know. I just remember calling Corey. Okay, what's going on?
Oh my God, that thing confused the hell out of me.
Oh, once you know what's going on, it's brilliant.
Read the novel. There's a novel
that helped a lot.
Cox, read the novel, then read the comic, because the novel is much more linear. And then with the comic, and you start to make all the connections, you start going, oh, holy shit.
Oh, okay.
So forgive me if I'm right.
I always forgive you when you're right. That's why I don't have to forgive you very often.
Darkseid won when the Seven Soldiers of Victory series came out, right?
Yep.
So, Dark I mean,
Side won.
Yeah, he had already won, and that was how many years before Final Crisis?
Two.
So, I mean, that to me is brilliant writing right there, you know.
The next one I have is the Netflix characters. None of the Netflix characters are on this list. So if you watch Daredevil...
Probably a reason, but...
I think there's more than enough good Daredevil stories.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica Jones. Luke Cage might have some problems, but... and then Iron Fist. There have been some great Iron Fist runs lately. But I actually think you take that Bendis Defender story... That should be a Marvel Select because it's got all of those characters. It was written for the people who came to bookstores after watching The Defenders.
Oh. Okay, well, that seems like the perfect one to do then. Considering it sounds like exactly what they were trying to do.
Yeah. Cloak and Dagger has a series on Freeform. Did you know that?
Really?
Good.
Freeform used to be
ABC
Family.
Doesn't mean I can watch it.
Used to be Fox Family. Used to be owned by the 700 Club. That channel.
I didn't know Cloak and Dagger was on that.
Yep.
Oh. Thought it was supposed to come out on Netflix and just never did.
No, it got renewed for a second season.
Oh, well, good. I mean, I like the characters.
They just did a recent... Digital Only series, which I think would be a good introduction to where the characters are right now. I love the stuff from the 80s, that Rick Leonardi art, just inked by Terry Austin. I love that stuff, but it's very 80s. Very, very 80s. So it just, again, it's something that, you know, I think a 15, 16-year-old would read and go, this is old and stupid.
Like the kids that are listening to this show.
There aren't any kids listening to this show. And if they are, we swear a lot. Sorry. And then the last one I have is Hawkeye. Why is there nothing Hawkeye on this list?
I see no reason why that's wrong.
I would say the first trade paperback of the Matt Fraction, David Aja run would be perfect. It's basically it's what Hawkeye does when he's not part of the Avengers, and it's him going up against a bunch of Russian mobsters, and it's one of the most visually brilliant things I've seen in years. I also think there should be a Black Widow trade, but there really hasn't been a good Black Widow trade lately.
That is true.
Maybe the Marvel Knights trade, which was written by Greg Rucka, and then the second part was written by Devin Grayson. That'd be a good trade. Joe, what ones do you think are missing?
I think there should be a Doctor Strange one in there somewhere. Same reason, because it's tied into the movie.
There was one, wasn't there?
Yeah, The Oath.
Yeah, okay. It just wasn't a good one.
Okay, yeah, that was part one. See, even I don't listen to that. Was there a Captain Marvel? Or, I'm sorry, Captain America.
Yes.
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
Okay. I'm mentally running down. Any Hulk ones worth doing?
Yes. We talked about one. I just don't remember what it was.
Let me go back to the list. That's why I have.
I think we've got most of the TV shows in movies covered.
For Hulk, it was Planet Hulk.
Okay.
Never mind. Sorry, this is Joe.
You're next.
Yeah, I'll come out. Yeah.
No, go ahead. I'm just trying to think of what may have been omitted. Something that you could, you know, say, hey, this, and people would instantly know what it is because of the current run of movies and stuff. Howard the Duck. No, I'm kidding.
I think when the Howard the Duck series drops on Hulu, they need to have one. And I think they should reprint the Steve Gerber 6-issue Max series, where it picks up after all the other stuff that's happened and satirizes the current things. You could also go with the Chip Zdarsky, which is more Marvel Universe grounded. And I think that would work as well.
Okay. Actually, thinking about different movies and stuff that have come out, they are missing like a Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And I was actually a big fan of Ghost Rider, the Danny Ketch story, when that was out, because, you know, I'm too young to have gotten into Johnny Blaze at first. However, I love the character when he comes back in that story. Collection of that would probably be of that story wouldn't be bad because you get kind of a background to the character, even though the new character, the new Ghost Rider, I'm not a huge fan of. Because
I wasn't
like,
recently until the last issue of Avengers I read where Odin comes down in a drunken stupor to confront the Ghost Rider, not realizing. Well, he did realize, but he was addressing the demon within, not necessarily the host character. And he kind of left enough mystery behind it to make me think, okay, there might be something to this character.
Yeah, it sounds like they're changing the whole concept of him.
No, it's still the demon. It's just he doesn't understand why he's tied to a car instead of a bike. You know, so there's more to be revealed, but...
Okay.
It wasn't enough to get me to buy the Ghost Rider series. I just, because I was reading Avengers at the time, I just ran across that. But again, for people, I didn't read S.H.I.E.L.D. or I didn't watch S.H.I.E.L.D., so I don't know how they did Ghost Rider in the TV show.
Very much like the Ghost Rider series, at least when they first brought him out.
So yeah, you want to go with the more of a motorcycle type dude.
Yeah.
Was there a S.H.I.E.L.D.? Book?
There really hasn't been a good one. Mark Waid did a S.H.I.E.L.D. series, but I have to admit, I didn't care for it. There just has not been a good book to tie in with the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show.
Another one that they don't have that we've had movies for is Blade.
Yeah, Blade's another one where we really don't have a good Blade comic.
I liked him in the Night Stalkers, actually.
Yeah, but man, that ties in with all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it's the whole Midnight Suns thing, which was Darkhold, Ghost Rider, Doctor Strange actually was part of that.
And just tons and tons of tie-ins and stuff.
Yeah.
Those are hard to do as first issues.
This is true.
They did put out a book a few years ago, which have all of his first appearances. And, you know me, I love my Bronze Age, but wow, is it 70s. You should have Curtis Mayfield doing the soundtrack, you know, right after he's done doing the soundtrack to Superfly with that. Because, man, does he talk like the stereotypical Shaft, Superfly, the Mac blaxploitation character in those.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I could see that.
And Marvel has tried a few times, but Blade just doesn't seem to sell well as a solo character for some reason. He's in the Avengers now, though.
Yeah, I heard. I saw that. I haven't actually read it yet, but yeah, I saw that. Which will be an interesting thing, too.
And is Wesley Snipes still trying to get a new Blade series going?
He's always trying to get a new Blade series going.
The last thing I saw, they actually have something planned, but, you know, I just read the headline and they move on. You know, it's like, how many times have we heard about things coming that never happen?
Hey, wait, with him?
Hey, no, the Silver Surfer movie from 1979 is still coming out.
Yeah.
Because Stan said so.
Of course. And he's probably up there now with, you know, Luke Perry planning the 90210 reunion.
Well, we'll get to that later. You know, you don't have to do tasteless jokes about the recently dead. Instead, you could visit these guys, our sponsors. That's right, here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads, and our first sponsor is me. That's right, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you can get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You can get them weekly. You can get them bi-weekly. You can get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. Subject, advertising. Thanks.
What a segue.
I didn't know how he was going to do that, but man, he kind of picked up a fumble and shot it to the penalty and did a bogey to make a stolen base.
Field goal!
Pinned right in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. Give me a turn count. Okay.
And this isn't the only podcast I do. Although after some of this, you might go, really?
No, they're all dying too, I'm sure.
Here's the other podcast that we have here at our network. The Solitaire Rose Podcast Network is filled with all kinds of audio goodness. First, there's Crazy Comics and Stories. It's been going since 2010. It drops every Monday, and it has me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, and Joe Crazy Writer talking comics, shenanigans, and whatever we're freaking and geeking about every Monday morning. It's been going since 2010, and it's available at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. Also on that same feed is the Solitaire Rose Podcast, which is me, again, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, doing interviews, talking about comics history, pretty much talking about whatever I want to talk about. We've also got Solo Joe, where Joe Crazy Writer does a solo podcast, and he hasn't done one in a while, so kick him in the shins to get him started. We also, on that same feed, have Solitaire Rose Series and Review, where we do DVD commentary of older comic book series. That's all at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. I also do a podcast with Wolfie B. Bad at badadvice.solitairerose.com, where we take listener questions and give them bad advice. There's also Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's at novels.solitairerose.com. There's also Fantastic Forecast, where myself and Adam Vermillion are going through the entire run of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time. That's fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com. And if you think that I'm on all of these podcasts, you're wrong, because Scrabbling Across the West is at scrabbling.solitairerose.com, where musician Dave Coffell and his wife Stephanie travel across America and then sitting down to play Scrabble and talk about the day. That's at Scrabbling Across the West, scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There are always more podcasts at the Solitaire Rose Podcast Network. Be there. Aloha. And now we get to Joe's favorite part of the show. No, 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 not where he mocks the recently dead.
Fuck.
It's Joe. What's going on the eBays?
Well, before we started, we were doing I come into the phone call, and Dan and Corey were going on and on about bad pornography they'd watched. No, why bad pornography? I have no idea. But it made me think, you know what, one of the weird things I sold just recently. Corey, have you ever heard of the TV show called First Wave?
No.
Well, it came out in 98, 2001. The gist of it was, framed for murder and on the run, a former thief struggles to expose the vanguard of an alien invasion with the help of a conspiracy theorist and a newly discovered prophecies of Nostradamus. And wait. It had quite...
It's the what? X-Force meets Logan's Run? Or not Logan's Run, The Fugitive?
Sort of. I know I never watched it, but one of the characters on it was played by Tracy Lords.
Oh.
And it just so happens that Andromeda Comics did a four-issue series based on that with different photo covers, and I happen to have issue number 4, which not only was the final issue, but was also a photo cover of Miss Tracy Lords as well.
Did Pat get her autograph on it?
I was scared to let Pat look at it, but it's not tremendously expensive, but it was just back when I was collecting a lot of photo covers with the idea that I maybe someday might run into the actor and have him sign it. Another set of photo covers I ended up selling. Guardians of the Galaxy Prelude, number 1 and 2. This was before the first movie. Was that 2014? No. Yeah, it was 2014, I think. And the number 1 had a Nebula on it as, what was her name? Kathy? No, Karen.
Yeah, Karen Gillis.
Yeah, yeah. And the second issue had Groot and Rocket Raccoon on it. So just kind of fun. You know, and it's kind of a neat idea that they do. They just have these come out. The stories take place before the movie, although really there's no real frame of reference. It's more fun to read after you've seen the movie. You know, then you kind of know what the heck's been going on. The next one out was one of the freebies, and this one came out in 87 through 7-Eleven stores. And I think it's the one where Spider-Man, well, the name of it's Spider-Man Prevention of Child Abuse comic. And I think this is the one where, is this the one where they reveal that Spider-Man was abused as a child?
Yes.
So I don't know if that's considered continuity or not.
Wait, Aunt May and Uncle Ben abused him?
I'm not sure. I don't remember reading it because it was a while ago. This one was actually...
No, it was a next door neighbor of some sort.
Ah. So this was... done by the National Education Association and given away here by the Minnesota Committee for the Prevention of Child Abuse. Again, this was back in 87, so I don't know if any of these organizations are around. But some of these freebie comics actually ended up having a bit of a value to it. So, you know, before you just toss it away or give it away, check it out. Of course, I knew Dan was on the show, so I had to sell my Dreamwave 2003 collection of Transformers Generation 1. Volume 2, numbers 1 through 6. It's a lot of numbers for that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, really. Wait a minute. I didn't know you had that.
Well, I don't anymore. I sold it. Should have been on it. See?
Yeah, I guess.
Other things, I sold a crossover that Dynamite put together called Lords of the Jungle. Corey, do you remember what Lords of the Jungle was about?
Yes, that was Tarzan before, back when the original Tarzan novels had gone public domain, but you could not use the name Tarzan because it was under trademark.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was.
They since got the rights to do Tarzan comics, and they didn't sell well, so they ended those.
Yeah. But this one was the crossover with him and Sheena, which Dynamite did have the rights to at the moment. And it's kind of a timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly story because Sheena's based in current time, Tarzan's based in the past. Not a bad read. I mean, if you're a fan of the type of jungle comics and stuff, it's worth picking up because I believe it's out in a trade somewhere. Speaking of wibbly-wobbly, timely-wimey, I sold another Doctor Who run. This one was from IDW 2011, Doctor Who, A Fairy Tale Life. What's better, ugly reality or beautiful fantasy? It's a question the 10th Doctor is forced to confront in a medieval fantasy. Amy, if you remember anything about how that character was, reluctantly finds herself cast as a damsel in distress, done by Matt Sturges, Kelly Yates. And I actually had some of the retailer incentive covers. That was kind of neat. I was teasing Dan earlier, but of course, I sold my only copy of Hothead Pagan Homicidal Lesbian Terrorist. This was actually an alternate comic written and drawn by Diana DiMassa. Featured the title character wreaking violent vengeance on male oppressors. And of course, reoccurring characters include Hothead's cat Chicken, her friend Roz, Talking Lamp, and transgender love interest Daphne. There were 21 issues of this. I could not find much information on this outside of the Wikipedia entrance entry, which, entry. By the way, we still don't have one. Just saying, if anybody wants to, well, whatever. Started in 91 under the imprint Giant Ass Publishing. So apparently there was a trade too. So good luck finding them. They're tough to find because, like most small press stuff, just not a lot of people were on it. I sold a copy of Amazing Spider-Man 574. And then I think I might have mentioned these last week. I think, did we talk about Harlan Ellison's City on the Edge of Forever?
No, you did not.
Oh, they must have sold after the con. Or after the show, sorry. Now, this was the IDW Star Trek run, which is insanely expensive. Because I think what happened is it's what's happening a lot with Dynamite runs and some of the other ones. People who are into the Star Trek or into Harlan Ellison find out about it after it's published. Because I sold my 5-issue run for about $50. And there weren't a lot of runs on eBay. To begin with. I mean, I don't even think there's individual issues. You can probably buy the book and that. So you never know when you get something that has cross tie-ins. I mean, you got Star Trek, you got people like Harlan Ellison. This is the first time this has actually been in comic form. So you can actually see it kind of as Harlan might have envisioned it on the TV show. And Corey and I have talked about this before, because you can also go and find the scripts online if you want. I believe this was approved before Harlan passed away. So he actually has some, I don't recall if he did extra writing inside it or not, because it's been a while since I read it. So if you want some, good luck finding them. The last one I know Corey and I have talked about before, Wasteland, which was a DC comic series, came out 87, 89. It's Vertigo before there was Vertigo. I never read it. I didn't have a complete collection. I only had up to issue 12. And I sold it for about $1 an issue. So, you know, the whole run just went. So a lot of other fun things on eBay. I have been working a lot of series up. Some of the ones I just mentioned just got put up in between last show and this show. And I'll have a whole bunch of new stuff. I'm trying to jigger prices around, move them up, move them down, mostly down. And of course, if you see anything you like and send me a quick note, I might do something nice. I could maybe, let's see, I reach over here and I grab something here. What do I got here? This is a Foo Fighters Concrete and Gold CD. I might just throw that in as a freebie for whatever you buy. Or maybe over here. Let's see. What do I have here? Oh, it's an Invader Zim Doomsday Dice game. I probably won't throw that in. I think I'm going to keep that myself. But you get the gist. Anything might give you free shipping. I might give you another key to the Strode's compound, including the access to his secret omnibus room. Before you get excited, it's not where you can go look at all the omnibus. Well, you can look at the omnibuses Corey has, but they're load-bearing walls, so you can't take them down and read them. But you can look at anything else he has. Or just skip that and go to Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, on the eBays. It's open 24/7, so you can buy things anytime you want. And even, I have no idea who listens to us overseas, but I'll tell you, if you're an overseas listener and you do see something on eBay, just send me an email. I don't normally ship first class to foreign countries because it takes forever. But knowing you're a good listener of the show, I would do that for you and try to get it to you in the cheapest manner possible. So you got that going for you.
Which is nice.
Joe's nice?
Well,
no.
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Speaking of people who aren't nice, Dan.
Yeah.
What do you got going on?
Oh, fuck you. What, since last week? Let's see. I have some friends in Rosalie's.
Liar, you have no friends.
Sorry, I have some business associates. in Roseville, they run what's called Hidden Puzzle Rooms. Which is just what it sounds like. It's a puzzle room place. Unlike some of them where you get locked in, you don't have to worry about that. If you're claustrophobic and thing, the doors don't actually lock. You just have to solve puzzles. And if you have to run out, you can run out. But it's a fun time. I've done all of their rooms and they come up with some great stuff. But, lately, I did their original logo, and we're going to be updating that so it can be a little more readable on a big sign because they're trying to expand. But also they're working on some stuff that I got to use one of my 3D printers and actually print up a key labyrinth. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It's basically a maze where usually it was originally you'd put it on a door and your lock thing would have to go through a maze so somebody couldn't just move it and open it up. You actually would have to go through a maze to unlock it. So I actually designed
that for all the damn keys Joe's given out.
Exactly. Well, here, I can print one out for you now. And I actually designed the maze and everything myself. So it was the first thing that I designed from scratch. So I was kind of, I thought that was cool, but you'll be able to see that if you go and, you know, do some of their rooms. So I suggest you go and do that and maybe they'll pay me, you know, to do some more stuff. other than that, everything else is pretty much what I said last week. So go listen to the other one if you didn't listen to that.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show. No, not where I tell stories about driving home and listening to cool songs. It's Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
All right, let's take a look at last week's list. The truck. Okay, it seems to be working. It looks like maybe it was just low fluids all around. So hopefully, knock on wood, that's done. Although I do still have a horrible grinding when the four-wheel drive's on. So if I can get it to work.
Just try turning the radio up.
it's that. I will find out because there's going to be more snow this weekend. So maybe, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Maybe it'll be back next weekend. Ice dams on the roof. Yep, still there. My salt thing didn't work. I'm going to go up there tomorrow with a goddamn saw and just saw the frickin' shit off the roof. It'll do wonders for my roof, but I don't really give a damn anymore. Get it? But, you know, I'm looking at the side of my house and I've got water streaking, you know, stains streaking down the side. So hopefully, knock on a fake desk board, that it's not leaking in the house. Kind of funny because I've been talking with the insurance company. You know, would you come and take care of this? And like, well, no, unless it causes damage. So let me get this right. You won't pay someplace maybe upwards of $2,000 to blow the ice dams off my house. Yet if they damage my house or upwards of $10,000 to $20,000, you'll cover that. Okay, that sounds good. Let's see. And Corey,
he's not bitter.
Are you going to talk about Luke Perry?
No, but Dan is.
Okay, I won't say anything. I mean, I
you
am.
You said you had a story.
I did, but I didn't know if it was going to be a freaking. But anyway, go on.
Well, either way, I'm just saying, you know, he was what, 54?
Yeah,
I'm 54. So,
God, you're old.
It's something that they said more people between age 20 and 60 are having strokes than ever before, and you just need to know the signs of the strokes. And I believe is it fact? If your face is drooping, and of course I didn't have anything prepared because I wasn't thinking I was going to talk about this because, you know, it was just weird because, you know, last week I was talking with people about a 90210 reunion. Everyone said, oh, they didn't sign Shenandoah, didn't they sign Luke? And then he hit the stroke, and I swear in a couple of days he was gone. So just get online, check yourselves for the signs of strokes, know what they are. By the time we get to the geeking, I'll look up and I'll figure out what that acronym stands for. Just be ready for it. So, Dan, what are you freaking on? What's got you kind of bummed out?
Not a lot actually has me bummed out recently, which is good. You know, again, nothing from since last week, thankfully. however, with the Luke Perry thing, the story that I was talking about is humorous. I was never really a Luke Perry fan. I know he got better in more recent years, and I've heard great stories about how he is on set and things like that. So, you know, all the respect for him for that. However, what it was that when The Fifth Element came out way back when, he was still doing 90210. So, of course, a teenage boy that I was at the time was not exactly interested in Luke Perry. In fact, he annoyed the heck out of me. And The Fifth Element wasn't good at its previews. The only preview I had ever seen about The Fifth Element was it was a bunch of asteroids kind of just rolling by the camera, and then it came up and said The Fifth Element. So nothing drew me to go see the movie either. A friend of mine went and saw it, came to me and said, okay, no, you have got to come and see this movie. I'm like, okay, fine. So we're sitting there and the credits are rolling at the beginning, which they used to do. And the last name that comes up is, and also starring Luke Perry. And I just slowly turn and look at my friend.
Slowly I turn.
Yeah, slowly step I turn. Step. And it was great because he just turns to me and he goes, no, no, don't worry. He like dies in the first 5 minutes. So that's my favorite memory of Barry. so yeah, how about you, Corey? Do you have any freaking going on?
The only freaking I have is we have the dates now for when my eyes get cut open.
Uh-oh.
I get to do that, right?
No.
You said you were going to do that as kind of a tribute to Rocky.
Cut me.
you offer to save a guy money.
Now I have to go to an eye doctor. Well, I go to the eye doctor because they have to do all the measurements and everything. And when I get in, I say, I need to warn you up front. My eyes are extraordinarily twitchy. I really have trouble with anything near my eyes. And of course, oh, yes, everything. Everybody's like that. And I said, no, you don't understand. It took them over an hour to put makeup on when I was doing stage plays.
It's because you kept dropping your pants.
No, it's because any time they would get near my eyes, I would freak out. So I sit down, and they do the little thing, and then they say, okay, because of your eyelid droop, you need to. I'm going to pull your eyelid up. And they would put their hand near my eye, and I involuntarily would just jump back. please don't do that. Look, I told you. Why don't I hold it up? So I would hold it up, and they would have to bring these things in close to my eyes. And I was literally holding my face with one hand to keep the eyelid open, and the other hand was on the back of my head so that I wouldn't jump back when they would put the thing near my eye and the thing would flash to get the 3D print of it and everything. Yeah. So they will do the first eye on April 15th and the second eye on April 24th.
Wow.
Now, what they type of are they worried? I mean, are you going to be sightless for a while? Is there a amount of swelling going on? How's that going to affect
your ability? They gave me a list of the things that could happen. And, of course, you know, all the stuff they listed is like, wow. But they say that I should be able, but I have to go that day, get it done. And they say, we're not going to knock you out. And when I glared at them, they said, have you ever had a colonoscopy? Yeah, we give you that drug. Okay.
And Corey really glared at him then.
No, because I've had that done and you don't remember.
Wait, you're going up to my eye through what?
Yeah. Then you have to go back the next day to make sure that your eye is healing properly. And they say, oh, you'll probably be out, you know, 3 to 5 days. And they want to get it done pretty quick because you have to get a physical 30 days, within 30 days of getting this stuff done. So they try to put them as close together as they can. And, you know, when I came in, they said, did they give you a magazine? I said, no, but I have my Kindle. No, no, no. And they go and they get this magazine. And it's a sales brochure for all the wonderful things they can put in your eye.
You're like, dude, I collected eye injury comic books. I know exactly what they can put in my eye. Thank you very much, EC.
But there were all these special things, and they said, the doctor will say, you know, what works best. And I'm looking, and it's like, you know, oh, for the one that completely fixes your vision and everything, and you know, basically the high end, it's $10,000 an eye. And he comes in, and he says, oh, you know, here are the two. You can choose whether you want to be nearsighted or farsighted.
Okay.
So you can't fix everything. No, 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 not with your eyes.
So I to the end. Lovely.
I don't get to buy any of the special lenses. I just get the regular, so I'm going to continue to be nearsighted. But they say that, you know, I won't need glasses for things up close. Eh. I'm not that worried about it. But, you know, that's what's going to happen.
I'm surprised you went with that then, because, you know, you don't really get a lot up close.
I read a lot of comics up close.
Well, true enough.
Finally get rid of those hangnails that have been bugging them.
I doubt that. So that's what's going on there. The eyelid thing that they're going to do, they have to put off till summer.
Oh?
Yeah, because... The funny thing is, when I got the new glasses, the doctor said they would do the eyelids first and then the cataracts. But I guess the cataracts are bad enough that they say, no, we're going to do those first.
We're going to yank them out.
We're going to yank out the lenses of your eyes.
So basically, I can get rid of all these old gallbladder photos and get some pictures of cataracts.
Or eyeballs.
Hang on a second. YouTube. Cataracts gone wrong. Okay, let me look that up.
At work, Dan and I actually talked a little about this last week. They've told us there will be no raises for those of us on the phone. Right after they announced that, hey, we made 6% more profit.
That's motivation.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, and we're getting slammed as hard as we are during an open enrollment. But, you know, no new temps because we laid them all off over a month ago when things were – no, we laid them off in January when things were slow. And they say, oh, it'll be 6 to 12 weeks before we can have new temps in.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm not going to be coming back really fast from that eye surgery. Joe, what you geeking on?
Oh, all right. Let's see. Oops.
Huh?
Okay, I do need a new computer, but I'm not going to. Finally saw the CNN film Love, Gilda.
I want to see that.
Yeah, I don't remember where we saw it. If I think it might have been Netflix or something, but it is wonderful. I actually, at the same time, the same night, watched Richard Pryor Icon on PBS. And it's really kind of interesting because one thing that I find amazing is when you go back and you realize of somebody whose entertainment that you, how do you say, Corey, if you meet somebody, say thank you for the hours of entertainment, that's yes. all you would say. I mean, which is so universal. I mean, I'd love to have said it to Richard Pryor or Gilda. Richard Pryor, of course, one of the greatest American comedians, huge influence on comedy, even to this day. Not only was one of the first black men on television, but he pioneered a new brand of humor. I'm talking to like his early stuff where he was, you know, kind of aping Bill Cosby in a way. And then he apparently walked off the stage in Vegas. And then when he came back after being penniless in California for a while, that's when the Richard Pryor came back using the N-word, talking about things we don't normally talk about, doing his white man impression. And Corey probably knows this because they wanted him on Saturday Night Live, and the networks balked on it. And do you remember why, Corey?
Well, they were worried that he would swear way too much. He was on during the first season, though, as a host.
And do you know why? What did they pioneer in order to get Richard Pryor on television? Something they do to this day on any live broadcast.
The 7-second delay.
Absolutely. It was 5 at first, 7 now. That's why there is a delay like that, at least most of the time. I mean, some live televisions, they don't have it like that. So just amazing. Now, Richard Pryor, what I didn't know is just his horrific youth. Mother was a prostitute. Father was a pimp. He got beat regularly. Lived in the ghetto. Just
lived in Peoria, Illinois.
Oh my God! I'm almost embarrassed. I was so naive and I didn't know nothing about his background. And I mean, part of it is what drove his comedy in such a cutting edge. But it's just amazing that somebody from that type of background was able to do what he did to get as far, to get the superstardom he did. And then, like I said, I watched that, and then we watched Love, Gilda. And again, another brilliant comedian. She was not from a wanted background. I guess her father worked a chain of hotels. I'd have to watch it again to see what, but they were not bad off. But she had problems. I think it happened after her father passed away. I believe she was 10. And then, you know, she started gaining weight and her mother had her on these weight pills. And consequently, that's why when you see her on Saturday Night Live, she's just thin as a rail. And back then, they didn't know about eating disorders and things like that. But it didn't stop her from just going out, looking for the laughs. She wound up in just different groups, Second City Television, wound up on Saturday Night Live. Then, of course, her special, what was it, Gilda Radner Live?
Yep, it was a Broadway show that they filmed for TV, but instead they released it in theaters.
And she absolutely loved doing it, but she also realized after doing it, she didn't want to do it. That wasn't what she wanted, even though she liked it. There was a lot of insecurity in her, which I've seen this theme before in different people, different anxieties, different insecurities, almost like it's part of the creative process. You have to have it in order to be creative, in order to keep driving yourself onto the next thing. And of course, they get to my favorite part where she meets Gene Wilder and they get together. They deal a lot with her battle with ovarian cancer that ultimately she lost her life to. An amazing documentary, touching tributes from different people. It starts out with some of today's Saturday, well, not today's, I mean, the 2010s Saturday Night Live performers reading her actual, I guess we call them diaries, her own words are reading. And these people are wowed. just the fact that they're holding something that Gilda actually wrote. So just two fascinating series. Again, love Gilda from CNN. I believe it's on the Netflix. I'll double check, and or you could Google it and find it. And then, of course, Richard Pryor Icon was on PBS, which was really, really fascinating. I mentioned it earlier. My box showed up early, so I imagine next week, Corey, are we going to be doing some previews?
Of course.
All right. So you folks got that to look forward to, and, of course, all the fun stuff I've read. Actually read quite a few comics, but, of course, they're way out in the other room because I've taken up a new system to try to figure out what to do with my comics, because a lot of times, like a miniseries, I go, okay, I got issues 1, 5, and 7. Where are the other ones? Because it's like when I should do this sometime, Corey. You did it once on a live. Show you what I do when I open up my box on box day. Because it's like, okay, these are immediate reads. These are miniseries. These are ones I'm waiting for, blah, blah, blah. True Believers over here. Graphic novels over there. And a lot of times when I try to get them together, they're not together because, you know, my piles just are out of control. So I've taken to where I've just got a bunch of short boxes, and there's three short boxes. These are ones I read. These are the new ones I haven't read, including, like, I just got caught up in Fantastic Four Through the Wedding of Ben Grimm, so, which was a lot of fun. Just a lot of the references, they're bringing up things that, you know, we're thinking about. They may not address them, but they're bringing them up, which I absolutely love. Again, that light continuity that Corey talked about earlier when we were talking about the Punisher. And then, of course, the third box are miniseries that I probably won't read till they're all together. Case in point, like Return of Wolverine. I started reading it. I was real excited. And I think the last issue came in box day, and I don't remember what the other four were about. So I'm going to sit down and read it again. I did read, however, some regular graphic novels, which you and an actual book. The first one is an actual manga out of, I think it's Ghost Ship, called World's End Harem by Kotaro Shono. And in the future, one man is about to get very, very lucky. The man-killer virus is a lethal disease eradicated 99.9% of the world's male population. Our hero, Rito, has been in cryogenic sleep for the past 5 years and now awakens to an all-female world where he himself is the planet's most precious resource. His one simple mission, repopulate the world by impregnating as many women as possible, whether he wants to or not. And you know it's going to be good because it's got the warning, explicit content, parental advisory, explicit content inside it. And you know, obviously, I mean, that I've read Why Last Man Standing and other things like that. I think Women's World, there was a graphic novel from Drawn and Quarterly I talked about a while back. So just another theme, but just a very different way of doing it. And, of course, the biggest thing, and I don't think it's a big surprise, Rito doesn't want to repopulate the world until he finds his girlfriend, who mysteriously disappeared as soon as the virus appeared. Needless to say, that's making the women in control right now very nervous because they don't want him just traipsing around the countryside. What if something happens to him? Book one. I'm not sure how many books of these came out. I've gone back through my previews trying to find it. I think at least three were solicited. I know three have been solicited. This next one from Omden, Mage à Trois, or Ménage à Trois?
Ménage à Trois.
I know how you say it. I'm just see how they write it. Because this is basically Ménage à Trois, I think is it. Not the Trois thing. Because it follows the lives of a 27-year-old virgin comic book geek. Yeah, had me at comic book. And his two-way hotter-than-he-is roommates, Gary, Dee Dee, and Z's. They're tight as a sandwich. Montreal apartment. It's cramped. Stage for sexy hijinks, awkward moments, and plenty of everything trying to bonk, shag, or nuzzle with everyone else. Apparently, this is a website that you can just Google it and read it. I decided to pick up. There's three volumes. I got the first two delivered. The third one I did see, but it hasn't been delivered to me yet. Just hilarious. Again, adult entertainment, plenty of hijinks, plenty of nudity.
You know, it actually sounds exactly like my 20s when right after I got out of high school, except for the two women. I just
if this
lived
is
alone.
Your 20s, I will probably would have to lick you again, but because you know, obviously the one woman is I think she's kind of a gothish type chick, may or may not be into lesbianism. We're not quite sure. And then, of course, Dee Dee is a tall, voluptuous French woman. And as Corey would say, let the hijinks ensue. So a lot of fun there. And I don't know if I mentioned this one. I mentioned I bought this, but I just finished it. The Autobiography of Jean-Luc Picard. One of Starfleet's most inspirational captains. And I believe this is going to be a series of books. The first one that came out is, I don't know if he wrote it. It was the one about Captain Kirk. Same thing, Autobiography of Captain Kirk. And I just read somewhere there's like a third in the series, although I'm not quite sure if he was doing it. It's edited by David Goodman, who is also working with Seth MacFarlane on Orville. And he's done a lot of work on Family Guy, American Dad, Futurama. And, of course, the fun thing, started in 1988 as a staff writer on The Golden Girls. Kind of neat. The book is a lot of fun. If you're a Star Trekkie like me, Trekkie, whatever you want to call yourself, it's a lot of fun. A lot of little details are put in there because, of course, you always want to say, okay, I want to get up to the incident of the Stargazer. They cover a lot of his career on his first ship, Stargazer.
Stargazer,
thank you. And, meeting Jack Crusher, his, apparently in this continuity, he does get married to Beverly Crusher. So it'll be interesting to see in the upcoming Picard series if they're going to play off on that or do like they did in the last episode of Next Gen where, they were married, but they divorced. And just little details that I appreciate. Like there was a throwaway line in the Next Generation when they had Leonard Nimoy on as Spock, the big two-parter. And they're going off to Romulus to try to find him. And Picard makes like, yes, I was at his wedding, Spock's wedding, which of course was a sneak for us because none of us Star Trekkers knew that he had been married. And they give a few details. Seemed to be a human woman that Spock was marrying. His dad was there looking disapproved. But when it came time to hear the name of the bride, something misfired. And so he never did figure out the name of Spock's bride, which they never reveal anywhere in the Star Trek series. So just little tight continuity, things like that. See, people, it's not that tough. It can be done. So, but if you enjoy the books, I'd check it out. I would imagine the next one would possibly be Captain Sisko or maybe Janeway. Never mind. I'll talk about it next week. I had another book I was going to talk about, but I wasn't smart enough to put it here. So that's pretty much it. Mr. D, what are you insanely happy or at very least geeking about?
Last weekend I actually sat down and watched The Death of Superman and then The Reign of Superman that DC released over the last 2 years. I was actually very surprised and happy with it without doing exactly what they did with the original comics and everything, because some of it would have taken way too long to explain. They did a really good job. I was happy with it. One of my favorite characters, however, was more of a background character, which was Green Lantern. It was voiced by Nathan Fillion, and they gave him some great one-liners. I mean, like, one of the last things they show, I guess spoiler alert if you want, because it's actually they – in both of them, there's credit scenes, and the last credit scene is Lex Luthor walking into the JLA tower, and the entire Justice League is just staring, and all of a sudden Green Lantern just goes, "Who left the front door open?" So It's a good two movie thing. So you know, if you like the original story, you should still probably like this, especially the first one. I thought they did Doomsday really well. So that was cool. What I'm really, really geeking on is now I officially am almost always have four Infinity Gauntlets at me on me at all time. I've got.
Selfish.
I have and a wallet.
Life still is what it is.
Yes, I have a wallet with the Infinity Gauntlet on it. I have a keychain with the Infinity Gauntlet on it. For Christmas, my stepdaughter got me the Infinity Gauntlet class ring, and today, in the mail, I got my Infinity Gauntlet watch. It's nice and gold. It's got the gold Infinity Gauntlet in the center, and then at noon, 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 are the three or the six different gems. It's just beautiful piece that's Marvel, actually Marvel authentic, authorized and stuff like that. I just love it. So I now
have a new geeking.
What? You have a new geeking? Okay, well, go for it. I'm good.
You have four Infinity Gauntlets, and you have yet to ask to make it so I, one of your friends, am dating Christina Hendricks.
I've been told you don't like redheads anymore.
Yeah, you blew it. She's not a redhead right now.
Yeah, she's a blonde.
But you were busy going on and on about brunettes.
She has hair dye. Dan, come on.
But that's
you
your geeking?
My friend, and you won't do one thing for me. Just one little thing.
What are you talking about? We don't even have a Wikipedia page. You could just do start slowly and work your way up.
Fine.
Corey, may I interject here before we get to your geeking?
Sure.
All right. I promised I was going to mention this, but I looked it up about FAST, which is an acronym used to detect and enhance responsiveness to the needs of a person having a stroke. The acronym stands for facial drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulties, and time to call emergency services. If you see your friend doing that, if you're feeling it, just remember FAST and take care of yourself. The five warning signs of strokes: sudden numbness or weakness in the face, arm, or legs, especially on one side of the body. Sudden confusion or trouble speaking or understanding speech. Sudden vision problems in one or both eyes. Sudden difficulty.
Corey's been having a stroke for the last, 10 years.
20. It could be. That's why he's podcasting.
Yeah.
If you have difficulty 25. Walking.
When was my son born?
Sounds like a personal problem. So, anyways, the last two. Difficulty walking, dizziness, loss of balance, problems with coordination, severe headache with no known cause, or the desire to spend the last 9 years talking about comics on a podcast. Corey, what are you geeking on?
I sat down and read the first 12 issues of The Immortal Hulk.
Corey, get mad. Corey, read Hulk.
One of the things that I like about the Hulk, yet is probably hard for Marvel when they say, hey, there are people who watch the Hulk movie and want to buy books. Every new creator who comes on the Hulk has a different angle on the character, and they're all valid, and they're all good.
Okay.
From Jeff Loeb, we're just going to have a big monster fight for 30-some issues with the Red Hulk, to this horror-based version of the Hulk. They all fit. This is creepy. This is a great horror comic that happens to have the Hulk in it. And the Alex Ross covers are just amazing. They just blow me away. What a great 12 issues. And I want more, so I'm glad that the series is going to keep continuing. On the Marvel app, Marvel Unlimited app, they just added a bunch more Marvel Mystery Comics. They added, looks like, 8 more issues of the early Human Torch and Submariner stuff. So I'm looking forward to reading that this week. TV-wise, I've watched all 7 hours of the Royal Rumble. The 2-hour pre-show and the 5-hour Royal Rumble itself. And I could go into a lot of detail, but I'll say this. Watching it, I felt so bad for Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles because they were right after the Women's Royal Rumble, which had the biggest crowd response I've ever heard on my TV. When Becky Lynch went into the Women's Royal Rumble, the crowd was so loud you could not hear the announcers.
Wow.
I have never heard that before. I mean, that crowd was insane. And then when that match was over, here comes Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. They tear the place down, and the audience is silent because they're worn out from the previous match. These guys did a great match. I'm watching it going, I feel so bad for them because they're pulling out all the stops, and the audience is still like, oh, my God, I'm so tired after that hour and 20-minute Royal Rumble. They should have just had the Women's Royal Rumble and then right into the Men's Royal Rumble. But 7 hours, a two-hour pre-show and a five-hour pay-per-view, which means by the time we get to WrestleMania, that thing's going to be 42 hours long.
Jesus Christ.
Because they're already, they're already saying 6 hours for the Royal Rumble. I mean, for WrestleMania, that's without the pre-show. The other thing is, Joe, did you see what the weather did in New York this weekend?
A little bit.
They got a big old snowstorm.
Yeah. We got cold because all the bitter cold that they're getting has been pushing us down.
Yeah.
Which is why we got bright sunshine. We're not getting killer tornadoes. We're not getting the heavy snow. So I'll take the cold any day.
The WrestleMania is at an outdoor stadium where they just had big old bunches of snow.
That's some good thinking there, people.
And all I could think is, Joe, you've seen, could you tell the people what Randy Orton's outfit is for wrestling?
Who wears short shorts?
Little teeny tiny trunks. How would you like to be going out there if it's snowing? I also am going to blow your mind, Joe. You ready for this?
No. Hang on. Okay, I'm ready.
All right. In 2019, your creative team on WWF, a WWE, Brother Love, The Ultimate Warrior's Wife, and Mick Foley's Kid.
Yep.
So, yep. One other thing in wrestling that I really like, there's a new show on Access TV right after New Japan Pro Wrestling. Now, New Japan Pro Wrestling is more a sports-based promotion. They do what's called strong style, which means that people take hits. It's a very MMA-based type stuff. Right after it is Women of Wrestling, which is from the same guy who created the original GLOW in the 80s. So it's campy and goofy, and one of the characters is she's from Tennessee, and I forget her name, I think it's Jolene something. Her gimmick is she's going to make wrestling great again. And the crowd hates her. And I don't mean just in a boo. I mean in the crowd, they actually have to have security to keep people from getting into the ring. They hate her. It is amazing to watch. I love that kind of thing. And somebody's got to pick up that gimmick and use it in the WWE. Oh, wait, no. Vince McMahon's wife's in Trump's cabinet. Never mind. Believe it or not, kids, you have listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half.
What's wrong with you? Get a real life.
And you've been doing it for 9 years. We are just, three episodes away from episode 400.
I gotta say 9 times 52 times 1.5 minimum of $700.
Yeah.
That's not counting your podcasts, my podcasts, everybody else's podcasts.
Wait, what?
This podcast.
Does he owe you that money? Or
advice? Yes. Well, a dollar a podcast? Sure, why not? Nope. Ours are absolutely free.
That's right. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most, Joe.
Speaking of podcasts, one of our How would you call Dave Kofell? Is he a fellow podcaster?
He is part of our network.
He's a musician.
His family.
Extreme, extraordinaire. He's going to Germany. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
He's got a show going on in Germany. His first show sold out, and he'll be there within 2-3 days of this here podcast dropping. So if you get a chance, you may still get a chance to, if you're one of our listeners in Germany. We know there are listeners in Germany because every so often we have like a cluster of our shows get downloaded to Germany. We don't know why. We just thank you. But his tour in Germany 2019 will be going on. If you're looking for information, go to davekofell.com. Check out his Facebook page under his name, Dave Kofell, K-O-F-E-L-L. In the meantime, he has graciously his wife said we could play one of his songs on the end of our podcast here. So I like trains. Hopefully you like trains. Here's one of his songs. You can also go to www.reverbnation.com/Dave Kofell and see some of the songs as he's posted. There are a few you can download. A lot of them you can just play and listen to. This one's called Lonesome Train. Corey, Dan?
Yeah.
My music.
See the waves on this lake of tears. Hear that lonesome train arrive. Feel the winds, it cuts me to the bone. Stars like ice up in the sky. There's things I cannot tell you. What this life of mine has caused, and all the ways I have gambled, I can't recover what was lost. Standing here on this weary shore, just trying to make some kind of sense. Wouldn't be a sinner if I could find it in my heart to repent. And if I speak, you will not hear me. Standing on that distant shore, never were one to listen. I'm not saying anymore. Could walk across this water while I wait here by the tracks. I'd ask him to carry you this message that I am never coming back. Maybe there's a place for us in heaven. I'm not the one who makes that call. After what I have been through, hell wouldn't bother me at all. And as I watch, this lake is rising. I can't see the other side. Anyway, I bought my ticket. Board that lonesome train and ride. time to board the lonesome train and ride. Time to board that lonesome train and ride.